The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick 6 Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. We got some free agency rankings that we're going to look at, including the running backs. We're doing free agency week all week long. It's Tuesday, March 10th, by the way. We'll be leading you into the free agency period. Very excited. I love free agency. The insanity should be fun. There's a wild new NFL logo out there and some lower tier ex-superstars who have bounced around Josh Norman's new home. What's up? We got a Super Friends show. Always excited for it. Maybe we'll have a Taco Tuesday top five or something like that. Maybe we'll do a top five bulging disc YouTubes. How about that?
That seems like a lot of work for Devo, Will. He's going to have to bleep out all your mistakes. Sweet. Or we could do top five places to go get your haircut, because it looks like Brinson got a haircut.
No, I took a shower. I'm getting a haircut tomorrow.
What?
Preacher's just trying to distract from the fact that his hair right now is out of control.
Yeah.
Look at that thing. Bermuda, I don't even know. What are you going for? What is that?
Breach is a little bit of a what's the guy's name that Bill Murray? He's right behind me. He plays in Kingpin. He's the bowler.
I'm having a baby in 3 weeks and I've given up on any sort of showering, anything. It's over.
Ernie McCracken. He's got a little Ernie McCracken at the end of Kingpin going for him. Sean, you haven't seen Kingpin, have you?
What year did that come out?
96.
Oh, that's actually not that old.
No, you need to watch Kingpin. It's hilarious.
I'll add it to my list.
You should add it to your list. As a movie reviewer, you've never seen Kingpin? It's weird.
Interesting.
The
old people keep doing this. They're like, you haven't seen this movie. I'm like, dude, I was -5 when this movie came out. Like, yes, I will watch old movies, but obviously I've seen fewer movies that came out before I was born.
How old are you?
27.
You don't know how old I am, man. I've known you for like 5 years.
It's a rhetorical. Yeah, you're 27.
But like, subscribed to his newsletter under the pretension that he had seen these movies. Now that he hasn't, I want to unsubscribe. You haven't seen Kingpin, Sean? I'm out of the newsletter
away.
Game.
You're the 100th subscriber. You're going to throw that away? You don't get to retain it if you unsubscribe.
It'd be like if you were an NFL writer and you like just didn't really ever see, you never saw Brett Favre play.
Or if I like never read the CBA.
Yeah, if you never read the CBA, exactly. Anyway, we are pleased to confirm that John Breach dyes his hair. That's exciting.
That is false.
I don't know, John.
There are a lot of silver hairs in there.
I asked my brother over the weekend if he dyed his hair. He's like, what are you talking about? My hair's just great, dude. I was like, oh, yeah, I guess it's true. Brian Wilson has no hair, so that's exciting. And Sean has continued to grow his out.
What? My hair's pretty short. I'm getting a haircut this week, though.
You
and Brinson have a haircut date?
No.
No.
You know who's not taking a haircut? Dak Prescott.
Taking a haircut.
Yeah, that's the call when you get your you have to
I think the intro wasn't going well, Ryan, so he was trying to move it into the football.
It just was taking too long. Let's keep moving. Dak Prescott. What?
Dak Prescott.
The Dak Prescott, according to reports from a report from ESPN, I believe it originated from, Dak Prescott has received a new offer from the Cowboys, a different offer. In other words, more money.
That's the buzz. 2 weeks ago, this is from ESPN. ESPN's Todd Archer. 2 weeks ago at the scouting combine in Indianapolis, the Cowboys met for roughly 30 minutes with Todd France, Prescott's agent, inside the team's luxury bus. A source termed the discussion as, quote, positive. Before that meeting, the sides had not discussed Prescott's contract since September. Sources have said the Cowboys had an offer worth $33 million per season and more than $100 million guaranteed on the table. Structure wasn't known. Patrick Walker of CBS Sports confirmed that the offer was somewhere in the range of $33 to $34 million per year. And it is an enticing situation, but I don't see how Dak Prescott can take this.
Yeah, I agree. You just go, it sounds like a lot of money when you say $100 million, $33 million, but then you start to actually look at the numbers. Russell Wilson's at $35 million. Ben is at $34 million per year. Goff and Rodgers are at $33.5 million. Wentz is at $32 million. So 33, 34 doesn't sound that impressive. I mean, if I'm Dak, I'm not saying he's better than Russell Wilson, but this is the way the quarterback contracts go. I would be demanding Russell Wilson money at the bare minimum if I'm signing a long-term deal. And then you look at the $100 million guaranteed. Jared Goff's at $110 million guaranteed practically at signing. So that's not really that big of a deal. He should be getting more than Jared Goff guaranteed at signing. So I don't look at this offer as good enough to make Dak turn down the chance to play on the franchise tag and really string it out. Like, I just don't think it's a good enough offer.
I think the most interesting thing about this is that Archer reported that last September, they offered Dak 33. Because I was saying a year ago this time, maybe they get him for 27 or 28. So the fact that it was 33 is higher than I thought. But to Sean's point, that it doesn't matter. You can't give him less than the going rate for the franchise quarterback who's number one, because that's how the franchise quarterback position works. I mean, that's almost a slap in the face.
It's not almost. It is a slap in the face.
Well, I was going to say 27 would be a bigger slap in the face, but last March, maybe it's a little, you feel a little differently about it, but I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would imagine Joe Flacco after that Super Bowl, when he bet on himself, he did become the highest paid.
Yes. Yeah.
No one thinks Joe Flacco is better than Dak Prescott on any planet, even Planet Flacco. So yeah.
Joe, just to be clear, Joe Flacco
won a Super Bowl. Dak Prescott has not won a Super Bowl. That's a huge difference.
But Dak Prescott's an unrestricted free agent. That's an even bigger difference.
Yeah. Nick Nolte.
He's two tags on 1 year fully guaranteed crazy money deals from being able to sign with whoever the hell he wants or force Jerry Jones to give him $50 million a year. And the longer the Cowboys wait, the more likely it is that Patrick Mahomes signs, just because that's how time works. Now, I don't think he's signing before the new CBA, but like, if Patrick Mahomes signs
one month. So if Jerry Jones builds that time machine, then it'll all work.
Let me say two things. And to Brenton's Patrick Mahomes point, if Mahomes signs this offseason, I actually think that's going to make things even more complicated. Because let's say Mahomes gets a 5-year extension worth $200 million. We'll just use that because it's easy math. So that's $40 million per year. But he has 1 year left on his contract at $735,000. So then his contract becomes 6 years, $200.7 million, which is an average of $33.4 million per year. So, you know,
but he also has a fifth-year option. Then he has two franchise.
Well, no, because if they give him the extension this offseason, the fifth-year option will be out the window.
I know that, but I'm saying that this is the third year. They have to pick up the fifth-year option this offseason.
Unless they get the extension done before that. So right. What I'm saying is that if the extension got done April 1st, that's before the fifth-year option's picked up, and Mahomes gets the 5 years, $200 million, you know, how are the Cowboys – the Cowboys don't want to pay him more average annual salary than Patrick Mahomes is getting, who just won a Super Bowl. Russell Wilson, who's been to two Super Bowls, who's won one. Ben Roethlisberger, who's won two Super Bowls. Like, it makes sense that the Cowboys are kind of planting their foot down. But to what you're saying, yeah, he's an unrestricted free agent. Usually don't find a quarterback in this situation. So all Dak's money is going to be new money, which is almost unprecedented, except for Kirk Cousins. And no one was giving him, you know, $35 million per year.
Well, and when you say new money, that's the key term, because they're not going to be like, oh, Patrick Mahomes is making $33.5 million a year. Yeah, I mean, we'll just get to 34, we'll be fine. They're like, no, Patrick Mahomes got $40 million a year in new money. That's what we want. We want $41 million a year in new money. Is it insane? Sure. Do you have a better plan? No, because then you're screwed starting in 2021, or really screwed starting in 2023. So I just think that if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm either getting $35-plus million a year. And if you're Jerry Jones, why are you haggling about this?
This is the weird thing. I don't understand why he gets caught up on these things. Cause they said a year ago, we want to pay Dak what he's worth or something to that effect. And now, you know, nickel and dime. And we had the same conversation with Zeke. Like he said, yeah, we're going to pay Zeke. And then like, well, we'll see him and Han. And then they end up paying Zeke. Is he the highest paid or is he close to the highest paid? What is,
yes, where's he's the highest paid?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know why we're dragging. Maybe like the spotlight, it is very weird, but what's plan B? Like, who are you going to get to? I mean, there are a lot of options at quarterback. If you decide, okay, ultimately I'm not going to pay Dak 38 million a year, whatever it ends up being. Like, what's plan B?
And to Ryan's point from earlier, they really screwed this up by not doing this a year ago. Because when Wentz signed his deal, we were giving the Eagles credit for getting it done before the Dak deal because the Cowboys were going to have to pay him more than Wentz got paid. And the Cowboys still haven't done it, and they did it before he put together the best season of his career. They could have had him, as Ryan was saying, at 30, you know, 32 million. A year ago, I would have said, Dak, you can take this offer. You know what I mean? But the season that he played out in 2019 completely changed it, in my opinion.
I think if they had made this $33 million offer, like, the day after Carson Wentz signed, because that would have been more than Wentz got, he would have taken it. But remember, he also got the $33 million offer per year back in September, and he wasn't willing to take it after, you know, a few more things kind of developed out. So, yeah, I mean, the Cowboys blew this. That's all there is to it. Yeah.
You don't think he should have taken the September $33 million offer, though, right? John?
No. I mean, if I'm Dak, I understand both sides. I understand why the Cowboys aren't offering more. But if I'm Dak, yeah, I'm saying no to anything that's not at least a Russell Wilson contract.
Right.
And that's $35 million per year. And like you said, why are they nickel-diming? If it's a five-year deal and you're at $33 million, you only have to add $10 million more over the course of the contract to make everyone happy to give him $35. Like, it's ridiculous that you would just give it to him.
They're still paying Tony Romo. Just pay Dak Prescott already. Or they're still dealing with Tony Romo's cap space.
It's like when you're looking for a house and the house costs, let's say, $250,000, and then your wife likes a house that costs $260,000. Look, 30-year mortgage, man, it's 10 grand. Who gives a crap? Just buy a house and make your wife happy, and let's get on with it.
Yeah, and again, like, we just can't harp on this enough. The Cowboys, this is not about whether or not Dak Prescott is better than Russell Wilson. Just like it wasn't about whether or not Kirk Cousins was better than Aaron Rodgers or whoever he leaped
on. Jared Goff, $33.5 million.
Right, right. Russell Wilson, when he signed his first contract, we did the same thing. When Derek Carr signed his contract, we did the same thing. When
Garoppolo
signed his contract. Oh, it's $125 million for Jimmy Garoppolo. It's crazy. You can't do it. Yes, you can. It's a quarterback. You, as Ryan pointed out, you just made Zeke Elliott the highest paid running back in all of football. So if you're going to, maybe it's just trying to string it out and drum up publicity. I don't know. I would guess that here's the problem. It appears as if, and we'll get to this in a second because the CBA has been delayed, but like the CBA does affect this. If they can use the franchise and transition tags, they'll just slap one on Dak and one on Amari and figure it out in July. Cause that's what NFL teams do.
A year ago is the point.
Of course. No, it would have been much smarter cap management to get like, listen, Dak. And frankly, if I'm Dak Cohen, like at no point starting in September of 2019, am I even contemplating signing a long-term deal when I have a short, we have 1 year, and he's got a ton of marketing money he's making. I got short, a 1 year deal on a cheap, that bumped up because it's your fourth year in your rookie deal. Then you got two more years on the tag and then your deuces to the open market where you're going to get $50 million a year.
So John said Tom Brady, if Dak Prescott doesn't come back for whatever reason, you got $33 million a year, who you getting?
Sean, Will.
Oh, they said John.
No, John.
That was my answer.
Sorry.
I have to pick someone else. To pick. In this situation, Dak is at they're not talking to each other. Jerry Jones has ghosted Dak's agent. They're just done.
They're not even tagging him. They just got $33 million extra a year.
I thought you meant like on Instagram.
Brady or Bridgewater. I mean, I think the problem with Brady, obviously, it's such a short-term option where it's – what I like about Bridgewater is there is that chance he does develop into a guy who could be there for 5-6 years.
Hey, but Jerry Jones said he wants to win a Super Bowl before he dies, you know?
That's what I would do. But yes, I think he would go out to Rivers or Brady.
Rivers and Mike McCarthy would make a lot of sense. They have the weapons. They've got a great offensive line. They want to run the ball. Rivers or Brady?
I do think that one reason Jerry Jones or even the Cowboys front office is because they're, you know, Dak obviously is saying I'm top of the market quarterback, but they're sitting there saying like, dude, you've never gotten out of the divisional round of the playoffs. Like, what do you, So of the
then,
eight,
yeah, then his response is, you hired Jason Garrett. of
the eight highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL right now, how many of them do you guys think have been to a Super Bowl?
Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers.
Guess a number. You don't have to say it out loud.
One.
I'm just through my head. I'm going to say four.
Ryan?
I said, oh, well.
He said one.
I said, I'll go back. It's more than that, but I'll take the low number. Select Price is Right. Go ahead, John.
Five. Seven.
That was close.
Five. Boom.
Oh, yeah, never mind. Russ, Ben, obviously. Rodgers, Goff. Are you counting Wentz?
Garoppolo. I'm counting Wentz.
Can't count wins.
He's quarterback most of the season. He gets the credit. He doesn't get the credit for the win.
Six and a half. That's a lot.
Is he the only guy is Cousins?
The only guy is Cousins.
Mm. Wow.
How about the fact that after that, it's like, again, okay, so those are our top eight quarterbacks, right? Then you got Cousins as the last guy on that list. Then
six was Matt Ryan after Carson Wentz, in case we didn't make it clear. And eight was Jimmy Garoppolo.
We're not going to count Drew Brees and Tom Brady for the purpose of this, because they're taking less money lately in order to help facilitate their teams at the end of the year. And Brady's a weird situation. But like the next group of quarterbacks is Jacoby Brissett, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr, Alex Smith, Joe Flacco, Nick Foles. Just pay Dak Prescott. what do you want from him? Backup quarterbacks are making $25 million a year. Like backup quality, Nick Foles, Jacoby Brissett, Joe Flacco. Eli Manning's on this list. Philip Rivers is making 20. I mean, like, just pay Dak $35 million and be done with it.
It seems like when the Rams got Goff and the Eagles got Wentz and even the Bears Trubisky, there seemed to be this line of thinking, which I think is valid. It's a valid way to build a team, is you got to get the cheap quarterback on his rookie deal, and then you can pay all these other positions, and you don't have to commit big money to one position. But it swung too much in that one area, because I think that's a valid way for a lot of teams to approach it who don't have a franchise quarterback. But it's not a bad investment to pay a quarterback $35 million if he is really good. It's not a bad investment. It's a good investment.
More importantly, and to John mentioned, well, Dak didn't win anything. Dak wasn't the general manager. He wasn't hiring these players on his rookie deal that the Cowboys basically destroyed those 4 years by putting crappy players around Dak Prescott and refusing to move on from Jason Garrett. Maybe they're in a better situation. Maybe they're more like the Seahawks or the Eagles if they had some sense of what was going on front office-wise and trying to build a team around Dak, who was making $45,000 a year as a fourth-round pick.
Not to mention they're about to let Byron Jones walk after giving Zeke top money, which, I mean, you could argue it either way. I would say I would rather have Byron Jones.
Yeah. All right, so let me ask you this. If they offered Dak $141 million, 35 and change guaranteed per year, with 115 fully guaranteed, or total and guaranteed, and then 75 fully guaranteed. He takes that, right?
Is that number one?
Yes. In all metrics.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, see, that's what you should do right now.
That's the same thing we're saying about Dak Prescott. Give him $10 more than whatever Le'Veon, whoever the highest paid, Gurley, whoever it was at the time, and then let's get on with it.
We're saying that about Zeke. Just like this is what he wants. If you want to keep him, you need to give it to him. I understand what the Cowboys are probably trying to do here. They're like, listen here, Dak. Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl. Ben Roethlisberger, Hall of Famer. Aaron Rodgers, might be the greatest of all time. Now, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, it's about your stratosphere there, buddy. You could see him saying that, but it's like, just stop being cheap. Go pay Dak. Maybe the Patriots should go pay Tom Brady. As the Brady, we need like an as the Brady turns
graphic.
Well, I don't know if a graphic would play on a podcast, but maybe like
I would enjoy it.
Yeah, we could. Oh goodness, look at this graphic we just posted, Ryan.
Fantastic, great work,
Tom Brady.
Still on Twitter, by the way, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady, yeah,
better tweeter than Will Brinson.
In fact, I think Tom Brady tweeted and said, interesting things happening on and off the field, quote tweeting a deadline, I believe, at deadline. It's deadline. I follow deadline. They follow me. It's pretty cool. No big deal.
Still bragging about Twitter, though.
Tom Brady has launched Hollywood-based 199 Productions. What do we make? Now, obviously, what do you make of Tom Brady, Breach, launching his own Hollywood studio, teaming up with some of the Marvel guys and making a very public noise about it just days before heading to free agency.
Well, I think if I'm Anthony Lynn, Dean Spanos, I woke up and I'm high-fiving everyone in the Chargers front office because I'm like, I thought we were out of the sweepstakes. If Tom has his own production company based in Hollywood, which is 10 minutes from where we practice, maybe we're back in this thing. So, and I think it also says a lot of questions about where he might sign in free agency. It revolves around what does he want to do? You know, like, is he all about winning another Super Bowl? Is he about setting up this new production company? Is he about expanding TB12? You know, there's a lot of different factors with Brady that you don't think about with other players. So I don't think that this necessarily means a lot, but it would make me feel slightly better if I'm the Chargers, knowing that, hey, maybe he wants to be hands-on. He can play football and run this production company if he comes out here and signs with us. You know,
let me just say this real quick, because I want to call John out real quick, because he's been very nasty to me.
Go ahead, what? Ryan. It's all yours.
I mailed the program yesterday. But
you mailed it?
I'm canceling it.
You are nicer today. Maybe you feel that the burden has been lifted. Now, all I want to say was it's sort of funny that John's like, well, he has a production company, has all these other things, the pliability stuff, and maybe the Chargers will look fondly on that. But remember when what?
You don't even hear it when you're a little.
I didn't hear it. No.
Yeah, you farted again. Electronic e-farts. You e-farted again.
There
it's
like it
is. The second time this year.
I was wondering why you're pointing at me. I thought I was.
You know what? You know what it could be? It could be your cord. Like, when was the last time you got a new cord running from your mic to your computer?
Mic to my computer? The USB cord?
No, the microphone cord.
XLR cord. Yeah, I don't know. It came with this mic that Scott Fitzgerald got us.
It might be time to invest in a new cord.
Might be. If only, what's that thing called? Backstage? They would answer your text. We could get some.
Don't get me to ask for it. Trust me.
Yeah, I thought you guys were pointing at me because I was making an awesome point. And then, no, you just thought.
Just e-farting.
Yeah, so I won't move. Well, my cord's not even moving. I don't know. But my point is that, you know, maybe
the idea of like Ryan's audio being the problem is going to put Ryan in a very dark place.
No, I'm okay.
For like several hours.
Look, all I can do is ask for a new computer. If I don't get it, then e-fart. No, I don't hear it. You guys hear it. So that's, you know, win-win.
Anyway, what's your point?
My point. If the Chargers are fine with Tommy Broadway doing all those little extracurriculars, and it's sort of funny because all we could make fun of Le'Veon Bell about was doing those terrible rap albums and you know, having extracurriculars outside of football, and everyone was like, well, that's going to make him a terrible football player. I don't know if that's why he was terrible, but it didn't help. But I'm just laughing at Sean tweeting at Brinson. So anyway, that was the only point I wanted.
I can't believe I let you hog the mic for that long tangent.
I got it because I was accused of farting.
I was going to say the Brady stuff, I'm not saying it's the same, but what it reminds me of was in February 2019 when everyone was suspecting it's Durant going to stay with the Warriors or go to somewhere else. He moved his business to New York offices, and then, of course, he ended up signing with Brooklyn. That's the first thing I thought of.
Well, in similar NBA fashion, I would even point out that the other obvious comparison is LeBron James, who was playing for the Cavs, and it was like, well, where is he going to go? And the recurring theme you kept hearing about LeBron James and the possibility of him signing with the Lakers, it still always felt kind of far-fetched, just the idea that he would go to L.A., like, nah, L.A.'s not very good. But it was like you could tell that, like you just heard constant buzz about it, that LeBron wanted to be in L.A., not just to play for the Lakers, but also because it would give him opportunities to do Hollywood related things at the latter stages of his career. And I think there's far more parallels between LeBron James and Tom Brady that people like to give him credit for, like extending their careers. How they are maybe the greatest of all time playing concurrently at the same time. Obviously LeBron James drafted with the first overall pick, Tom Brady 199th, and that's why 199 Productions is that thing. But if you read the article on Deadline, it says the company is quietly assembled a slate of development projects that include several with Brady on camera in stories spanning sports, entertainment, and health and wellness, among others. If you were Tom Brady and you were trying to make a lot of money with the sports documentary, having yourself move across the country and fire up with the Chargers would be a good way to do it. And if you were trying to convince, like if a team was, like let's say Tom Brady's out there negotiating with multiple teams and talking to them, I really believe, and we said this on the podcast, one of the things that he's going to ask them for is to let his boy Alex Guerrero have full run of the joint. The other thing he might ask for, hey, look, I want to bring a camera crew out. And you know who's not going to let him do that? Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick is not going to let Tom Brady embed a camera crew from 199 Productions at the Patriots facility 365. But you know who might be willing to do that to help boost ticket sales for their new stadium? The Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, I do think on that point that any team that wants to sign Brady will let him embed a camera crew. Even if it is a 75-person camera crew, they will let that army follow Brady around, recording whatever they need. And I also think they would give Alex Guerrero free run of the joint. So I think any team looking to sign him, not just the Chargers, would be amenable to those two things if that's what Brady, if that's Brady's stipulations. Hey, look, I'm not going to sign unless you give the okay on these two.
But like, that's the thing. Brady could go and sit with Bill Belichick, sit down with him to discuss these terms. And he could say, hey, Bill, like, here's what I want. And Bill's like, what? No, I'll give you $30 million a year and I'll like go get like Hunter Henry, but I'm not. No, what do you mean, Tom? What do you want? You're a camera crew?
Are you Gronk now? What's going on?
You want a birthday cake every day too? Like, what do you want? Only avocados served in the cafeteria? Like, what is this nonsense? You want a camera crew? This is football.
Let me ask you this: who do you think of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady more wants to prove they don't need the other person? Because part of me thinks it's Belichick.
I think it's Brady.
It's definitely Belichick.
Because I think I don't know if Tom would ask for those things. He knows Bill Belichick well enough not to do that. But even if Belichick's like, I've had enough of you. I've had enough of you pouting and all that other stuff. I'm not happy that you made me trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Beat it. I'm going to sign, trade for Andy Dalton, and we're going to win 11 games and go to the Super Bowl. See ya.
The thing I'll say about Belichick, though, is at least he does have a legacy before Brady. And now it wasn't as a head coach, as a defensive coordinator, but that's still an important part of his legacy. Whereas Brady does not have any legacy whatsoever.
He took the Browns to the playoffs.
He was the last Browns coach to win a playoff game.
Okay, that's guys, I was negative 2 years old when that happened, so I wasn't actually negative two. But
that doesn't mean you can't learn about it for your job. Maybe you were too busy reading the CBA.
I made a good point, and you guys are getting me on a dumb technicality. He is not known for being a Browns coach. I don't think his stint with the Browns is known as the positive. Do you?
Yeah, he turned the Browns around, but I wouldn't. I mean, either way, the Giants stuff and the Browns stuff aside, those two guys are linked together forever. I mean,
the Browns fan street is a negative because they lost Bill Belichick.
But they didn't like the fact that he benched Vinny Testaverde. That was a sticky point. But neither Belichick nor Brady were making we're going to be Hall of Famers without the other, is my point.
Yeah, but I do agree I do think it means more to Belichick to win without Brady, because he's got that mind like, hey, I'm the best coach ever, but there's always this, well, you had Tom Brady, kind of like with Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan, where, hey, Phil Jackson's a great coach, but you had Michael Jordan, and those great coaches want to say, well, I could win without him. Why would I get rid of him if I have the greatest player? I'm not just going to like cut him.
And there's the one Matt Castle season, but it doesn't really hold that much weight. And yeah, I know you're right. Like people say like, well, Belichick got Brady with the 199th pick in 2001. He hasn't had to. It's like, yeah, okay, we get it. But
that Matt Castle team won 11 games.
Yeah, but didn't go to the playoffs.
Did not make the playoffs, although they would have made it under the 14 team playoff system.
Let me put it this way though. How many teams are winning 11 games with Matt Castle at any stage of his career? I mean,
the Chiefs did the very next year, but that.
No, they didn't.
Are you sure about that? Matt Castle went to the Pro Bowl the next year. The Todd Haley, baby.
They won 11 games?
No.
They won 10 games in 2010.
They won 10. You?
Thank you. You just dunked on yourself.
Ryan, you were a little bit nervous, though, when he went for the dunk.
I was thinking it was 12.
But, I mean, you were only one game off. That's not horrible.
They won the division, right?
And in Brinson's defense, Castle started 15 games that year, and he went 10-5. So he didn't have the shot at the 16th, at the 11th win.
In fact, they won the division and sat their players in week 17. So I think we'll call that a push.
I think you got fouled going for the dunk, and then you made the free throws.
1-1 on the free throws. That's right. Made the first, missed the second. Okay. One word from each of you. It's March 10th. Where is Tom Brady signing in your mind right now, John Breach?
What does that mean?
Is that a word?
Did you just make a cat noise?
We need a gif of the hand motion he did.
That was the sound of lightning hitting the ground because he's going to the Chargers.
Oh, I thought you were talking to your cat to get off the television or something.
Like, that would have been a cat noise. He's going to the Bengals. No, it was lightning.
Did your cat just fart? What's happening
here?
Sean.
It's two words, technically. New England.
You could have just said Patriots or Foxborough. I mean, come on.
Said where? I named a place.
Foxborough.
New England. Gillette.
Yeah, you're the worst.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible. That's like something a little brother.
Out of all the things I've done, and you claiming I'm the worst for that, come on, that rings
true. I've had it. That was the final straw.
I feel like that's the worst thing you've ever done.
Foxborough for me. It makes too much sense.
I don't know, like, crap. It's a Chargers. Los Angeles is two words. All right, let's take a break. Oh, my goodness. And when we come back, we'll tell you about the AFC East, some of those moves that they made, plus free agent running backs.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All right, so some quick moves on the AFC East to talk about. Bills signed Josh Norman to a one-year, $6 million deal, can reach up to $8 million in incentives. They have a ton of cap space. Norman's old. He doesn't have to be the top cornerback there because they have Tre'Davious White. It kind of makes sense and not surprising that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott like to reunite with another player. They signed star Lotulelei too in free agency. They have typically been a feeder system for ex-Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, 1 year, $6 to $8 million. I mean, that's a bargain deal. I had nothing wrong with this, even if he just had a
bargain. Doesn't have to be the shutdown guy anymore. It can just go start, play opposite Tre'Davious White. I like it. What? There's no harm in this. If it doesn't work out, you lose $6 million, and you had so much cap space that you're not going to need that $6 million. Why not?
If you pay him $8 million, that means he had a pretty good year. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. The Jets are, according to the New York Daily News and ESPN, are reportedly going to release Tremaine Johnson, a 30-year-old cornerback. Mike Maccagnan, one of his headline splash signings that will probably prevent Big Mac from ever getting a GM job again, signed him to a 5-year, $72.5 million deal in free agency in 2018. March 20th is when Johnson's $11 million salary for 2020, guaranteed for injury only, becomes fully guaranteed. So expect that cut to – I mean, this we don't need a report. This is just – obvious thing is going to occur in the next 10 days.
The thing you didn't read there, Jets should have around $50 million in cap space. So that's huge. They can sign 12 offensive linemen and hopefully get better there and figure out. The defense actually wasn't bad.
And here's what the delay is on it. I think this is from PFT. I'm not sure. Debo grabbed it. It's a weird font. It looks like PFT. I can tell you it's PFT. You know how I know? No, it's not PFT. It's going to be ESPN. You know how I know? Because Mike Florio, he double spaces his sentences. Drives me nuts. Florio has like two, you know, because like you hit two space. It's like
typewriter reporter.
No, I mean, it's fine. Florio can do whatever he wants. It's his website. I think Rich Cimini of ESPN reporting that the holdup on releasing Tremaine Johnson is that the new CBA, we don't know what the rules will be, vis-a-vis the post-June 1 cut. With a new CBA, you can't do a post-June 1 cut in the final year of this old CBA. But if they get a new CBA in place, teams will be able to cut players and designate them post-June 1 cuts, wait till June 1, and then you save more money on the salary cap space. You can spread it out over multiple years. So teams are very hopeful that that new CBA is incorrect.
And let me just say that this blows my mind that they have made this deadline now March 14th. So Saturday, March 14th is the new deadline. Tampering starts March 16th. So the Jets aren't even going to know how much money they officially have on their salary cap till less than 48 hours before free agency starts. Like Tom Brady, by the time he's talking with the Patriots, it's the tampering period. So
all of this is just craziness that this is going down to the last second. The Cowboys, the Titans, they're not going to know if they have two tags to use until Saturday. So the whole thing is just nuts.
It is indeed nuts. What was I looking at? Wasn't there something about the deadline for, why this headline on the homepage? Am I crazy? Didn't I see something about the deadline? The NFLPA announced something about the deadline being pushed back?
Yeah, that's what I just said. So March 14th.
Yeah, but
Saturday night at 11:59.
You know what, Brenton? I'm hearing things too. I heard Saturday. It's weird. I just heard it.
Oh, but in case I just said it in my head to myself and didn't actually say it out loud, the deadline is March 14th. Brenton's favorite day is Pie Day because he eats pie. He loves pie. Brenton's big pie eater. But that is when the deadline is, 11:59 p.m.
That is actually true, that I am a big fan of pie. By the way, Ian Rappaport reported, speaking of teams that are in New York, that the Giants are not close on a contract extension with Leonard Williams, who they gave up a third-round pick for, so they might franchise tag him, or else they'll let him walk in free agent market. Dave Gettleman has already said, and I'm going to paraphrase here, but this is what he said. He said, I'm going to look like an idiot if I don't sign him, aren't I?
And we said this when the trade went down. It was like, you have to extend him now because you just took a player with an expiring contract and you're not in win now mode, so he's not going to help you this year. And so the expectation was all along they were going to do it. So for the sake of the Pick Six podcast content, I hope he walks so we can continue to dunk on Dave Gettleman.
Russell Okung, Sam Acho, Michael Thomas of the Giants, and J.C. Tretter are the nominees for NFLPA president. That vote will take place today. If Russell Okung wins that vote, now, so like, if the players vote no on this CBA, oh my God, CBA to help put everybody to sleep. If the players vote no on the CBA and they get a new president elected and then they have to go back and re-bargain with the new president, it's going to blow everything. Like, it just won't get done. Just FYI.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to the bottom, the players at the bottom of the payroll, the guys who are making $500,000, $600,000 a year. They don't care who the president is. They're just going to vote. I want a 20% pay raise. So, but it'll be interesting if Okung is the new guy in charge because he hates this. He hates the new CBA. He wants to rework it. He wants to renegotiate it. And if players support him by voting him in, that kind of says that maybe they're against the CBA because they're supporting the guy who hates it.
Here's the thing I was looking for. I don't think you said this. So the date, March 14th, for the vote has changed. However, the date for the new league year will not change. It's still going to be March 18th. Did you mention that? And I just spaced out and forgot about it.
The teams would only have 36 hours from the CBA being finalized, knowing the rules to free agency starting, tampering period starting.
They are evaluating, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, whether or not to push back the tag deadline from 4 p.m. on Thursday. I would anticipate they do that because you really have to know. This thing's a whole mess, but thankfully it's not. It's the 2 years before.
But then if that happens, they probably push it to Sunday, March 15th, because you have to know what the vote total is. And then so March 15th is the tag deadline, and then you jump right into the tampering period where teams can agree to deals.
It wouldn't be Sunday, March 15th, because the league won't be open for business.
Has to be on a Monday. It's going to be March 16th at 4 p.m., and that's also when the tampering period starts.
Yeah. So it'll God. That would be crazy.
Can we just pre-record the emergency podcast now?
And in the meantime, Corona taking over the world. Very exciting. A priest in D.C. This is your Corona update for today. A priest in D.C. found out he has Corona and apparently was gave out communion to an entire church, shaking hands, patting hands, handing out bread. So congratulations. There you go, Sean. And that's why you're not a God-fearing church-going man.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that on this podcast. That seems like a trap. I stay away from politics and I stay away from religion on this podcast.
That cruise ship is landing in Oakland right by Sean's house.
Barreling down. We can't get him through Jesus. We'll get him through a cruise. I'm pretty sure my wife's best friend has Corona. She's had acute bronchitis for 3 weeks. Sure.
Not so cute.
That's not cute at all. keeps hanging out. I'm like, what are you doing? Freaking quarantine yourself, freak. I can't give out her name.
Brett's bedside manner, second to none.
Well, I would say Wilson would be the most person likely to survive a coronavirus apocalypse out of us four, because he lives in the middle of nowhere. Well, we all live in civilization, so we're probably, you know, even if we're one of the last 90%, we're doomed. But Wilson's going to have to repopulate society. Is your wife ready for that, Ryan?
Jesus Christ.
She's like shooting herself in the arm with corona.
She's like, brother.
Hold on, kids. Mom's not going down this road.
Yeah. I choose death.
She's like, falls into a pool of corona.
Yeah.
The Chargers have a, is it the Chargers or the Rams? The Rams have a new logo, right?
Like a Charger.
Yeah.
It looks like a Chargers logo. It's a, how would you explain it? It's
she described it as looking like the president's hair, which is sort of funny if you look at it.
Actually looks exactly like that.
I will say this. When I saw it, I didn't hate it. I was like, yeah, it's fine. I mean, it looks like a Ram, the way the goal wraps around the L and the A or whatever it is. It's fine. I mean, it's not worth being upset about.
I would say to me, it looked like someone started drawing a Chargers logo, got really drunk, realized they were supposed to be drawing a Rams logo. They were like, oh crap, didn't want to throw away the work they'd already done. They're like, oh, just combine the two and see what happens.
I cannot stop seeing the president's hair.
Me neither.
But it's like a sideways look. Yeah. Like it's all like it's.
I think in all honesty, I think it's terrible. And I'm usually with Ryan on like the internet overreacts and is ultra negative about things. But I care a lot about hat logos because I like to wear hats. And if I was a Rams fan, I would be devastated if this was the logo. I think it looks terrible. A, it just looks cheap, I think. And B, it looks way too much like the team, as Reed said, that plays in the same stadium as you. So I think they got to go back to the drawing board. And the hat that it's on is like a weird, like teal, like greenish blue. Like I did.
Yeah, real quick, the hat. If people only see the hat, search for the actual logo. Because my understanding is that is a draft hat. And because the draft is in Vegas, all the logos have kind of a tinted neon light. So that is not the actual colors of the logo, because this is a draft hat.
And a Twitter user described it as, this looks like the equivalent of Sean's report on the CBA on Friday's Pick 6 podcast. which I liked.
Sean and Ryan, when we start talking like CBA, it looks like me, but I do like when I do local radio around Raleigh and they have a hockey guest on. I just try to not make eye contact, like to put my head down and try to not make eye contact, hoping they won't be like, so what do you think about, Sky Vasileri or like some, I don't even know.
I don't know. You would chime in as if you were an expert.
No,
that is actually true. You would.
Yeah, I don't.
What are you at?
Austin Eckler will not be a free agent. Was set to be a restricted free agent. He got a big time contract from the Chargers. 4 years, $24.5 million. That's a good signing by the Chargers.
Let me ask you guys this without looking, and you may already have seen this because of this contract. Do you know how many receiving yards Austin Eckler had last year, 2019?
I would guess 785 overall.
What would you guess, Sean?
750.
600.
He had just shy of 1,000 receiving yards last year.
Oh, wow.
The only reason I lowered it is because the Chargers stopped using him once Melvin Gordon came back as much. So.
This is a great deal. This is 10 times better than the Josh Norman deal, even though it's about the same amount of money per year.
This is probably going to be, we have to see what happens with Derrick Henry and everyone else, but this will probably end up being my favorite running back deal, I will imagine, of the offseason.
Yeah, this is what running backs should be paid, and he's extremely productive.
And these are the types of running backs you should be paying if you are going to pay them.
And how do you think both? And the Chargers were apparently offering Melvin Gordon $10 million per season last year. So how do you think they feel right now? Like, ooh, Austin Eckler for $6 million per year or Melvin Gordon for $10 million? I mean, that's the easiest decision that any front office could ever make. So buy Melvin Gordon. He's not coming back.
Let me ask you one more question real quick. Who makes more next year? Eckler or Melvin Gordon?
Melvin.
Team pay Melvin Gordon when you could have had Austin Eckler or an Austin Eckler type player.
I think Melvin Gordon does because there's a lot of teams that need running backs with a ton of salary cap space, and I think he'll get an $8 to $10 million deal.
I agree exactly with what Breach said.
I think Gordon will get more next year, but I think that Eckler will end up getting more from his full contract.
Who will produce more next year?
Eckler. Although,
well, let's see where Gordon goes. Obviously,
yeah. Let's see who's quarterback. I mean, like if Tom Brady's the Chargers quarterback, hello, Austin Eckler. I mean, like that's. I mean, that's another thing too. Ooh. Like
even Tyrod, I don't feel terrible about his production.
No, but like fast. Austin Eckler is like a better James White.
Yeah.
Right.
But guess
he
what?
He's a more complete back.
The Chargers' offensive line is a worse Patriots' offensive line.
Well, sure, but that's why you're dumping down to the running backs. 285 carries in his career, 303 for Derrick Henry last year. Derrick Henry is a free agent running back, and that's our top five Tuesday, top five Taco Tuesday rankings. A taco sponsor on here.
Love the graphic.
I had some queso for lunch, actually.
Just queso?
Queso and chips. Just a couple shots of queso.
Okay.
We got some queso for Chubby's Tacos locally. Very good.
All right. Shout out to Chubby's. Not a sponsor.
Could be. Call me Chubby's.
I mean, it's the second straight week I think you've mentioned them. So.
Oh, we're talking about tacos. I can't stop thinking about Chubby's. They got great tacos. Some Baja shrimp tacos?
And the Rams' new logo kind of looks like taco shells if you break down the gold parts.
That's a good point, Breach. So our consensus free agent running back rankings, Super Friends consensus, our top five. We'll start at the bottom. We're going to be previewing the top five on Tuesdays. That's what we do. Or throughout the week. Pete Prisco's coming on. He's mad at me because I won't talk to him. Matt Breida at number five.
That's not why he's mad at you. Can't be.
It's fine. Matt Breida at number five, 25 years old, 3 years in the NFL, had 623 rushing yards, a touchdown, 19 catches, 120 receiving yards, and a touchdown. How do you feel about Matt Breida as an option out in the open market, Sean?
I will say these are consensus rankings. I did not put him in my individual top five. I did it first, and then I took him out. My concern, I think he's a good player, but my concern is twofold. One, how much is his success more of a product of just being Kyle Shanahan's awesome system that makes everyone look great? And B, he's never really done it for like a full season. He's hit the most involvement he's had was in 2018 when he played in 14 games. And he's made appearances pretty consistently throughout all the seasons just without like a starting role. So that would be my concern. He's been banged up a little bit. I still think he's a really good player. I would like him more than overpaying Melvin Gordon because he's going to cost a lot cheaper and he can probably do a lot of the same stuff. But I don't think you're getting a superstar necessarily. But
who's
I like him.
Number five.
Jordan Howard.
Okay. All right. I think I had Breida at five.
Yeah, I was flipping between Howard and Breida.
That's all I had to say on that.
Okay. Breaching. I think the ideal landing spot for Matt Breida is at the 49ers, frankly.
Yep. I agree. Yeah.
I was just trying to think of like who should grab him, and it's like, dude, you're just good in Kyle Shanahan's system. Like some variation thereof. I mean, I don't know. It seemed like an easy landing spot for me. Number four, Kareem Hunt. He hadn't even 25 years old yet. 24 years old. Obviously has off-field problems, concerns. Came back for the Browns last year. Looked pretty sharp towards the end of last season. Finished with 8 games, 43 rushes, 179 yards, 4.2 yards per carry. He is a restricted free agent. And of course, in 2017 as a rookie, he led the NFL in rushing with 1,327 rushing yards, 4.9 yards per carry, 8 touchdowns with the Chiefs. Also had almost 500 receiving yards. Should somebody come out and tender Kareem Hunt, Breach?
Yes, Brenton, I think someone should. Look, when he's on the field, he's been pretty good. And so obviously we saw him lead the whole entire NFL or just the AFC in rushing, in 27
I think it was the NFL.
Is the entire NFL?
Yeah. So he,
yeah, 2017 was Zeke's, suspension year.
He's a good talent. Right? He's going to have a whole off season in your system. Whereas, you know, obviously he was suspended with the Browns this past season. So if I'm a team that needs a running back, I go out and I get him. And I don't think the Browns are going to match something that is super high. If somebody comes out and offers Kareem Hunt an Austin Eckler size contract, $6 to $8 million per year, I don't know that the Browns are going to match that because they are pretty set at running back with Nick Chubb. So, if I'm maybe the Texans, I think the Texans would be a very interesting fit for Kareem Hunt. I think the Buccaneers would be interesting. But those are two teams that I would consider giving an offer sheet, because I don't think the Browns are going to match a $6 to $8 million offer.
What is the tender again?
Depends on how they tend to, the Browns.
Oh, yeah, first round. Play, so, yeah.
They haven't done it yet? Okay.
I would guess they do a second round tender.
Yeah.
I think they would be thrilled if somebody came and did an offer sheet and they got a second round pick for Kareem Hunt.
Yeah. I love him in the Brown system though. Stefanski's, we know that he likes to run the ball a lot because Zimmer demanded that he do it last year and they had Nick Chubb. But more importantly, I was sort of surprised that he was fourth on this list.
I was going to say that I would have had him at two, I think, if not for the off the field concerns. And he just had that incident where he was pulled over and inebriated, I believe. So
yeah, you've got major off field red flags, and he's an RFA. That changes things a lot for me, because like, you're not just negotiating with his agent and coming to a deal. You have to, you know, do the tender thing. Number three,
the second round tender, real quick, is $3.3 million. So if a team came and offered him $5 million, I don't know if the Browns would match that.
I don't think they would.
It's not a lot. We're just talking
to Ryan's point. Like,
you're gonna give up a second round pick.
We're just talking about Eckler. Like, he is perfect for the modern NFL. Like, he allows them – you can keep Chubb on the field, right, and Kareem Hunt on the field at the same time. They did that all at the end of last season. So
if they place a second-round tender on him and somebody gives up a second-round pick for Kareem Hunt, they're idiots. Because you can get a player in the second-round pick, like who's the guy from LSU?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, yeah. Wouldn't you rather have Clyde Edwards-Helaire on a second-round rookie contract than Kareem Hunt? With his, I mean, like, that's a no-brainer to me. I bet he stays with the Browns. Kenyon Drake, 26 years old, four NFL seasons in. He was finally able to break out once he escaped Adam Gase and Miami. Six games in, he had 643 rushing yards at 5.2 yards per carry, eight touchdowns in eight games with the Cardinals. He was a revelation. He sent David Johnson to the bench. Where's his best landing spot, Breach?
Stay in Arizona, Kenyon, if you are listening, which I know you are, because everyone listens to the Pick Six podcast. I don't know why you would leave. This offense is perfect for him. Obviously, David Johnson had trouble picking it up, didn't really fit in with what Cliff Kingsbury was trying to do. If I'm Kenyon Drake, I think my best shot at success is staying in Arizona.
Anybody else disagree?
David Johnson does, but no one else on this podcast.
Yeah, it was hard finding. This is the problem with the running back market. Like, it's hard to find great spots for these guys. You know, he would be a nice. They have the Colts have my boy Nyheim Hines, but I wouldn't mind them adding some more pass catching running backs.
Drake would make a ton of sense in Pittsburgh. Their running back situation is problematic with James Conner and his inability to stay healthy and. What's his face? The guy they drafted last year out of Kentucky, whose name I can never remember.
Benny Snell.
Benny, yeah, thank you.
I mean, I feel like Kenyon Drake is a fit in most places because he's pretty multidimensional.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like if you have a smart coach, like, they can utilize his skill set. Like, I think even like Tampa Bay, for example, Bruce Arians system, like, or Houston, like playing with Deshaun Watson, I think that would be a good fit too. But I agree. I like the Cardinals should just try to keep him.
All right, Melvin Gordon, our number two running back, friend of the program. Melvin Gordon, played Madden with him. He's been on the podcast. Of course, 26 years old, five NFL seasons. Only played 12 games, 612 rushing yards, 3.8 yards per carry. Real down season last year after his holdout. Sean, got a good change of scenery for old Melvin?
Yeah, this one was hard to find because I think all of us agree like you shouldn't overpay for him. So you have to look for a team with a lot of cap space. So the team I landed on was the Bills. I think they have the third most cap space in football.
Now, are you not high on Devin Singletary, or you just think they want to run the ball a ton?
It's the latter, yeah. I'm very high on Devin Singletary.
Or are you low on Josh Allen?
It's all those things. So I think this is going to be a run-heavy team. I think they're going to remain that way. If you look at it, I love
Sean's. This is setting up to be a Sean talking point this offseason. Like, you need to get back to running the ball and keep it out of Josh Allen's hands. Minimize the number of mistakes he can make. We don't know if he's an elite, complete quarterback yet, and I frankly don't believe he can transition to that.
Tebow, just clip that, and every time I start talking about the Bills, just play it over me. If you look at what they did last year, I love Devin Singletary, but Frank Gore had 166 carries. Like, I think if they're not bringing back Gore, you have to replace those carries, and not to mention Melvin Gordon would be a substantial upgrade over Frank Gore, and I think he just fits what that offense wants to be.
Okay, and finally, our number one running back, Derrick Henry, obviously, 26 years old, four NFL seasons, the first player in NFL history to rush for 180 yards in three straight games, including the regular and postseason. Most rushing yards in NFL history in a player's first four career postseason games, 561. Wow, playoff monster. He's the first player in the Super Bowl era with 1,200 rush yards and 10 rush tees in an eight-game span. And he was just he's dominant in the postseason. And look, again, it's not a cop-out. It's just hard to find a better fit for Derrick Henry than the Titans. To me, that's an obvious landing spot for him. Go back to Tennessee. You play in that offense. You bring back Ryan Tannehill or maybe you sign Tom Brady, but you lean on Derrick Henry again. The biggest problem is that you got to pay him a big contract.
Sort of a big problem. By the way, we gloss over the fact, I'm not sure why Melvin Gordon was number two on this list, despite his friendliness.
Where did you rank him?
I think I had him four.
Well, I mean, these were independent of contracts, like, or expected contracts, I guess. Like, I would rather have Melvin Gordon than Kareem Hunt.
Really?
I mean,
really?
Kareem Hunt might, he got pulled over, like, you just don't know if he's going to be there.
I know, on field wise, though.
Kareem Hunt would be the guy.
Yeah, so, like, I have Melvin Gordon at two, but, like, if I was an NFL GM, I wouldn't sign Melvin Gordon, even though I have him ranked number two, because it would just be too costly. I'd rather go get Matt Breida for a lot cheaper.
Yeah, or.
But I think he's the second most accomplished running back on this list.
Absolutely.
Like, he's a good player. The contract discussion always clouds the fact that he still is a good player. It's just he's not worth it because of the way the NFL works.
That is correct. All right. That's our running back discussion. Free agent stuff. Great job, guys. We'll be back with Jonathan Jones tomorrow. Make sure and subscribe, rate, and review. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.